Blog Talk Radio.
Ding, ding, ding. This is Great Inferno. Ding, ding, ding. It's 11 o'clock on Monday, April 20th, 420. That's right. That's right. My goodness. Before I open up some lines over here, I know I have got a couple callers on hanging on there. Thank you for calling. You can call. I have a couple more lines open, 347-884-8125. Or you can join me on the chat room, which I have not started yet, silly me. All right. So much to talk about today. Join me here on Block Talk Radio. You can go to blocktalkradio.com/Great Inferno. Usually do that right around 9 o'clock. I don't know what happened today. I was going to do that at 9. I had the show set up for 9, but apparently not. So I had to move it to 11. I do apologize to my listeners. Please forgive me. I don't want any hate mails. So, without further ado, I'm going to just go ahead and open up lines over here, and we'll see what, we have nine topics we have to go through. So, we're going to crunch time, baby. 9928, go ahead, you're on air.
Hey, Great Inferno, it's your buddy Pinto. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, the Pinto playout. Pretty good. Long time no talk.
I know, man.
How you been? So did you get my email? I emailed you. I was like, I'm going to move my my show because it's hard to compete with the Pinto.
Yeah, I got that. And by the way, I've already sent you a hate mail. Be prepared. Oh, yeah.
Send me some cow dung in the mail.
That's
I would
right.
Hate that. Yeah, you would cut me deep. Oh, I hate cow dung.
Nice.
Yeah. So what's new with the Pinto before we start here?
Well, not a whole lot. I took a break from doing shows for a little bit. I felt that it was time to kind of scale things back and take a break. And I'm looking to jump back in and do one day a week here. I was hoping to put it off for a couple more weeks, but I've gotten such a strong response since I've been away. People have actually tuned in more. I may actually come back a little earlier than what I expected.
Yeah, it's addiction, man. You can't get away from that.
I'm telling you, man.
In all honesty,
it's an addiction I'd love to have. Just being on here and entertaining and just having a great conversation.
Exactly, Pinto. Now, I want to touch up on a thing right now. I've seen these on text messages, stuff like that on Facebook and MySpace, stuff like that, sending me some stuff like happy 420. Although I do not do stuff like that, but it says I know what it means, So, what do you say, man? What's big deal about 420?
I don't see the big deal. I think it's just an excuse for, I guess, people who smoke pot to,
yeah.
To do it, I guess, more openly, for lack of a better term, a better description.
Right.
Like, hey, 420, smoking if you got it.
Yeah, next, I think I'm still waiting for them to, to have their own mascot or have their own,
Have their own mascot, like what, a bong?
The walking bong, yeah. Or,
Barry the bong.
Hey, they already have one. Who's that guy, the Green Giant? There you go. They could be their mascot or Popeye the Sailor Man. Right. That would be the same thing, yeah, with the pipe.
Popeye being the mascot, that'd be priceless.
Yeah, Popeye's already, he's already smoking crack, so.
Yeah, I knew he was on something since day one.
Right? Ever since, man.
Somebody has forearms that big.
Yeah, look at Olive Oil. I mean, he knows he's, you know, just a crack.
Yeah, that's the best right he could do.
Yeah. Actually, it was off my topic. I'm not, you know, it's not in my topic, but it's a great thing. But I want to jump in here real quick. A little serious here for a minute.
Okay.
You watch the news, right? I mean, you know, you can't really, you know, you check your email. There's news there and everywhere. You know, I mean, it's, although I'm trying to avoid.
I try to stay informed.
Yeah, try to stay informed. Well, they just had the UN Geneva Convention, I believe, and now you hear about the Iranian President Mahmoud, the friend Mahmoud. You know, he did this. You know, that's a regular. You know, that's him. It's a hateful rhetoric against. You know, the what is that he hates the most? Oh yeah, Israel. You know. And there's a lot of people boycotted and walked away, you know, from that convention, the conference going on. So, and President Barack Obama is actually, you know, denouncing that and condemned it. Actually, U.S. officials wrongly condemned what the president said on Monday. You know, he actually using anti-racism, comments and lambasting Israel, you know. Like, you know, remember that last a year ago, I think, he was going to wipe out Israel face of the earth, and you know, uh-huh. Like that. So the question, the main question here is the I know that Barack Obama or President Obama had mentioned that, you know, he wants an open table, you know, the talks is on the table with mm-hmm. with Iranian. What do you think? What do you think he would do? I mean, that the President Obama's next steps on this.
Well, I can tell you what I would like to see done is I would go through with the open talk. You know, people, of course, you're going to have detractors. Granted, you know, there's always somebody opposing whatever he does.
Right.
But you know, I would have this talk. I'd sit him down. You know, I'd say, hey, you know, country doesn't look very highly upon the hateful rhetoric. Saying that you're going to wipe off, you know, Israel from the face of the earth. You know, we, you know, how about U.S. and Iran develop, you know, a peaceful relationship, or at least, you know, a relationship where we can coexist. And if he continues to spout, you know, the rhetoric of, you know, war, you know, and just generally negative things, then you might have to take it a step further.
Yeah, and you know, we all know that, you know, they're nothing but bullies, you know, just like, you know, Chavez and them, you know, they've, you know, talked about, they've said some anti-American, rhetoric that in the past, and, you know, I'm all about, like, you know, bury the hatchet and let's move on, you know what I mean?
Right.
Let's put everything and all difference aside and let's move on and help one another. But, you know, in reality, I don't think you can. You know, it's going to surface again. You know what I mean? Just like hanging out with your friend. It's like, you know, you have their back day. Hey, you slept with my girlfriend. Oh, let's just
right. It's going to come up eventually.
You know? Yeah, it'll come up eventually. And why not, you know, take care of that now? Now, I know that, again, that people are probably going to disagree with me, but, you know, it's just me. But what I'm saying is just like, you know, why don't we, you know, put in like an ultimatum, you know, like, let's say, you know, if you don't do that, if you don't stop that, this is what we're going to do. Barack Obama's want to take that, you know, the other route. And let's see, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and, you know, let's see where it goes from there. But, also raises that question, what about if we're too late? What about,
right.
let's say, maybe 75% chances that, you know, they will get this nuclear whatever warheads that they're trying to make over there within, like, 4 years. And it'll be
right.
Too late, you know. And I'm not, you know, God forbid, but, let's play a hypothetical game here, you know. That's what we want to do.
Right.
And, I mean, do you agree with, you know, I mean, I agree with talking to them, but the question is, what else, any other options we can put on the table?
Well, if diplomacy, you know, isn't an option, just being very forthright and being just very straightforward, very forthright. It's like you said, you know, you don't do this, then we're going to do this. And, you know, we're not going to back down from this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's, you know, they have to, I mean, I think they you know, we show, you know, weakness, you know, us, you know, by doing that. Because it's not, this is the first time that we're going to be, you know, tried or trying to talk with the, you know, with the, you know, regime or with, you know, with the Iranian or any countries that's not aligning with their, you know, with our beliefs. But again, I'm giving them a benefit of the doubt, and let's see, you know, after that we'll move on. You know,
what?
I mean, that's basically that's what it is. So, yeah. So go ahead, Mr. Obama. You can go ahead and open up talks with Iran. You know, even though, regardless, even though what he, you know, that the president of Iran has said, you know, again, that bashing Israel is in that, and let's see where we're going from there.
And the thing is as great of a talker and orator as Obama was on the campaign trail, maybe you should try using that when talking to Iran's president. And I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not even going to try.
the Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
That sounded pretty flawless. Good job to you, sir. I probably would have butchered that.
Yeah, Mahmoud. Okay, now let's move on to that. Let me scratch that real quick. And all right, let's move into fun stuff here. Another survey, another research in here, and saying that nearly, you play games, Pinto? You play like in talking about like consoles, like Xbox, you know, PlayStation, and all that stuff. Do you own one of those consoles?
I have. Let me see. I have a Wii, an Xbox 360, a PlayStation 2, a GameCube.
Man, you're a gamer.
Yeah. I am a gamer.
Man, you are just. Okay, well, let's. I just lost my note here. So you're a gamer.
I'm sorry. My geekdom threw you off.
So, yeah. So what the survey is saying that the nearly 10% of kids and teenagers who play video games are showing signs of addiction. That's what the, you know. So one every five kids, whatever, and that's what the report said on the site on whatever. Research that they did. I don't know who did that. It's Harris poll. And they said, you know, it's one of those poll. Now, they did the task that actually they did was, you know, whatever, I'm losing my mind here. Okay, and then, you know, the kids who played, I mean, how many hours do you play with this thing? Well, like, let's say Xbox, you know, I mean, do you hang out there until like sunrise till sunset, or
no, dude. I have like too much going on. On average,
yeah.
I'll be honest. On average, as much video games as I play, if I have nothing to do and you know, nothing better, yeah, I'll sit and I'll play for a couple hours. Why not? I have nothing better to do. But if I'm busy, I have other prior engagements. I'd say at longest, I'll play an hour. You know, at the longest.
That's not bad. Yeah. Well, average actually. The kids, you know, 1 out of 2, they average for like 8 to 12 hours a day. That's a lot.
Wow.
Because, you know, your kids, when a kid's locked into their bedroom with all these things, that's all they do. You know what I mean? People nowadays, you know, like they have kids, they can say, oh, you're grounded. You're staying in your room. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, they have.
Awesome. My video games are in there.
Yeah. So, and I think, do you think that, you know, kids are, that 10%, more than 10%, you know, that the kids are addicted to games, gaming consoles? I mean, would you agree with that?
I don't see an addiction. I don't see any really how anybody could be addicted to video games, honestly. So I really don't agree with that point whatsoever.
Well, there's some kids is like, yeah, they, you know, they let him play with the up to like 14 hours. It's a ton of money. It all boils down to, you know, the parents. You know, are they being responsible? Are kids controlling the parents now? Or, you know what I mean?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's you know, kids will test you. And, you know, unfortunately, some kids out there, like, and it's hard to you know, get the beat down, but what I'm trying to say is that parents control your kids when it comes to, you know, games, when it comes to, like, you know, exposing that to, like, movies and games.
Exactly.
And stuff like that.
Exactly. Because it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to go inside your child's room if you felt they've played enough and just turn
right.
the console off. And say, hey, you've had enough.
Yeah, exactly. If they mouth off and be like, what? You know, it's time for...
Yes, hey, mouth off, you're grounded. It's just easy as that.
Let me get a caller in here. 3944, what you got, man?
Well, what about the kid who, I forget about maybe about a year ago, his parents grounded him from the Xbox because he was so addicted to the Halo game, he literally got a gun and killed his parents.
Oh,
he's
wow.
He's not addicted?
Really?
Yeah,
I forget how long ago that was, but that was in the news of, like, 6-8 months ago, something like that. A while ago, his parents grounded him from the Xbox. He got his gun from his dad's safe and killed his mom and dad.
Oh, okay, a dad from a dad's safe. I thought it was one of those, you know, Halo gun. I was like, where did you get that? It's like one of those, a needle gun from the, I don't know. Did you guys play Halo?
Needler or something like that.
No, I don't know.
Those are, you know, because those are sweet, because that set you in fire for like 5 minutes, for 5 seconds, and explode.
I know, it was pretty brutal.
I don't think they had any regenerative power there. I'm pretty sure the tombstone and the flowers really kind of put their life to game over.
I mean,
kids are messed up, too.
So limitation, I mean, moderation is a key for that. I mean, it, you know, parents out there, you know, time your kids. I mean, it's just been 2 hours. And also, it takes, you know, the kind of game they're playing. I mean, you know, if you're 5 year old playing a Saint, what do you call it? The
Leapfrog or something like that. I'm pretty sure they might play that all day.
Yeah. So I mean,
I wouldn't let a 5 year old play Grand Theft Auto. No.
Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, yeah.
When that first came out, I was like 16 or something like that for the PlayStation 2. And you know what? My parents never even let me touch that game. I got into that when I was like 19.
I mean,
that's
how
sick of a game that is.
Yeah. I mean, who would... if I read the thing and it's like in the script and it says, oh yeah, pick up a, you know, become a pimp, you know, beat up a cop, steal a car
from a shirt.
Yeah, I'll
let my 14-year-old play that. Hey, you want to learn how to pick up a hooker?
That's a great life lesson.
You can pick up this girl who tests out your suspension in the car in the game. Just so you know, she gets in the car, she tests
by picking up a hooker.
That's what it does. It's like increase your some self esteem or something like that if you
it
pimp
increases
out.
Your stamina. Well, that's what we're gonna
stamina
say.
Stamina. and I have friends out there. Actually, yeah, they were so proud. It was like, oh yeah, my 5 year old.
She must have been a trainer or something. She got in my car and my stamina went up and my money went down. So must have clearly been a trainer.
Exactly.
M for mature.
Exactly. Great nudge, nudge.
And it's also the parents, actually, you know, because you can't just buy, you know, that mature things. You have to show your ID and everything, you know. And it's if the parents is buying them for kids, you know. And it's like, oh, I'm gonna give that to my kids for their, you know, birthdays or Christmas. And I'm like, dude, you know, grow up, you know. It's like by the time your kid's 14, he's going to have, he's going to be in jail and he thinks he can earn money by beating up a cop. I am talking crazy.
Yeah, I stole a sweet squad car, though, last week. I mean, I'm spending 28 to life in jail for it, but I stole a sweet cop car.
What a great highlight for your life.
Yeah.
Went to the
exactly.
cop station and said, okay, well, now where are you responding me? He said, what? I said, well, I'm going to give you a police bribe, and I'm going to go back out on the street, right?
That's cool. But, let's move on, shall we? Because I might end up just buying the game and play. I don't know. It's, you guys are bad influence. But anyway, you might want to, you know, next time you go to restaurants, you might want to ask your waiter or waitress, do you work here before you give them money? Because apparently, the town of Hoboken in New Jersey, police say there's a guy actually, posed as a waiter, collected $186 in cash from dinners at the two restaurants in New Jersey and walked out with the money in his pocket. So the diners described the bogus waiter as a spiky hair, 20-something, whatever, wearing black, dark blue. Hey, Pinto, what are you doing over there? Or black, black, not sure. So the guy actually went to the restaurant, right? You know, maybe, I don't know if he was wearing, he's just wearing a regular shirt. I mean, walked to the table and says, do you guys need anything else? And the guest or what the people says, no, and handed him $90, $96. And then he just turned around and walked away.
So,
it happens. So then, and he hit like restaurant, man, in New Jersey. So, I mean, what's your favorite restaurant, Pinto?
My favorite restaurant? I love Mexican food, honestly. So anything that serves Mexican food, I'm there.
That's what I said. Besides Taco Bell, what's your favorite restaurant? I mean, like a sit-down restaurant.
A favorite sit-down restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a couple. Actually, Chili's would be my favorite, probably.
Never been there.
Yeah, but it's very good. It's good.
Yeah,
hamburgers, cheese fries.
Yeah.
Hungry now.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry. But next time you go there and, you know, so you sit down, you know, they give you a bill, whatever, and the thing. I mean, ask your waiter, man. It's like, do you work here? And they'd be like, you know, if he's asking why, yeah, of course I do. Well, you know, you never know.
I learned to ask.
Like,
my curiosity. Yeah, doesn't have to ask.
What about you, Nate Dogg? What's your favorite restaurant? A sit-down restaurant, not like, you know.
Oh, jeez. I was going to sit down and say I have chairs there, so is that technically a sit-down restaurant?
Where?
McDonald's?
I'm talking about,
what
like,
order they bring it to you. Does that technically count as a sit-down?
No. I'm talking about more kind of a, like, you know, Sorrento's and like Italian restaurant or, you know.
I kind of like Fields up in the Dells. Been there once.
Fields in the Dells? Yeah.
My curiosity,
they're good,
you know, this guy apparently went up to the table, right? Did he serve them their entire meal or something? Or otherwise, would you really be that dumb to hand somebody else all your money?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like,
well,
I know my waiter's name was Pablo, but I mean, your name's Steve, right? I mean, this is the first I've seen you, but here's my money. Do you want my social security card too while you're at it? You know, photo ID?
Take my car too.
Yeah.
No. I mean, this is a different guy, I'm assuming, because I'm assuming somebody would have noticed if he goes there to try to put in an order, not understanding the computers. Nobody understands him or knows who he is. So I'm assuming that he just comes up when he notices the bill is due, and they're just like, oh, okay, this random guy that I've never seen at this moment right now is taking my bill. That's fine.
That's fine to me. Yeah, it's stupidity. It's, you know, I'm the same thing. I'm going to do is like, hey, what are you, you know, who are you? You know what I mean? I'm... Yeah, yeah. Like,
No.
Yeah. You know, you want to get my waiter? yeah, because the one with the big boobs. So what about you, Pinto? What's going on with the, you know, restaurants over there? And you're from Aurora, right? Aurora.
Where are you from again?
Is that Champaign? Champaign?
Yeah, Champaign, Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the best? You know, Italian restaurant over there.
Best Italian restaurant. Well, I did work at one about 2 or 3 years ago that closed down, but the one I would probably have to say Olive Garden, probably.
Okay. So if we visit like Champaign, that's you know, you would, you know, highly recommend that.
Italian place, definitely Olive Garden. Great fettuccine.
Like that. Fettuccine. let me get a caller over here. What do you think? Caller number, disappeared. Oh well. You don't know what you're missing out. Come back here. Now, let's move on, shall we? Okay?
Yes,
shall we? All right. Now, this lady actually, by the name of Rita. Rita Levi, whatever, Montalcini, from the place in East Coast, not in East Coast, but some country over there somewhere.
Anyway, good.
She's actually a Nobel Prize winning. Yeah, she's a scientist. So she's actually turned 100, and she said that her mind is sharper than what it was when she was 20, according to her. And
I was going to say, she's probably gone senile, so she also thinks she's Superwoman. If you hit 100, you think you're sharp. Right?
Yeah.
You think she's sharp as a tack because she can push her wheelchair now for the first time in 10 years.
Ventures of steel.
Oh, man. So, I mean, she's actually shared a 1986 Nobel Prize for medicine with American Stanley Cohen. I don't know who that guy is. He's just saying here. For actually discovering mechanisms that regulate the growth of cells and organs. And she said, at 100, I have a mind that is superior, thanks to experience, than when I was 20, end quote. She told the party complete with a large cake for her, and I don't know how big the cake is, but... So, I mean, here's the question. She's in medicine, and she said she feel like, her mind's sharper than 20. Do you think she's hiding something? I mean, what do you think, Pinto? Do you think she's hiding something, like maybe she found a youth, founding of youth that she's not telling us?
Yeah, you know what? If her mind's as sharp as it was, and it's better than what it was when she was 20, I'd say more power to her. I would love to meet this lady and kind of pick her brain and see it for myself. I don't really believe it, honestly.
I don't know what I would do if I had her brain, honestly. I wouldn't be able to judge it. I'd be like, okay, it looks like a brain.
Right.
Well, I'd have to see for myself, if her mind is actually as sharp as she says it is. Because just on hearing it, I don't believe it. But
interesting.
If it's true, more power to her.
Right, like give her like a calculus, mathematics, whatever. Give her Jenga, or give her like something like play chess with her. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let's see how freaking, let's see how sharp her mind is, and
She's smarter than me. I keep losing to.
Yeah, play chess with her, and she says king me. Do you think she wins? I think she's sharper because she's gotten to the lower drawer of her medicine cabinet.
Right. So. Well, I think it's because of maybe she was a pothead back in the day when she was 20.
Right. Before 20, I'm happy.
Yeah. you got to ask her. It's like, whoa, what were you doing then? Were you like
sure for the tech, man. Yeah, and Red Bull gives you wings. Go fly off a cliff.
I was actually a straight hooker back then. Boy, I had a good pimp. But the he's actually she did a good thing, she crying out loud, it's a Nobel Prize, for medicine. Oh my goodness, that's a scientist. That's a huge thing. It's like flying on a freaking outer space or something, like John Glenn did back in the day.
I'm not poking fun at her for her accomplishments. What she's done, that's awesome. My hat's off to that. I just don't believe that her mind is, as sharp as it was when she was 20, if not better. I don't really believe that.
I find that hard to believe either. Also, because I don't know. You have to take that, in consideration, and say, putting her into test, I wonder if she's single. Are you single? I don't name talk single. There you go.
What does she look like?
You might want to look it up.
Okay. I'm typing in right now. SeniileOldLady.com. Okay. There we go.
No. Yeah. 100 old
I'm not
woman.
Doing that. That's mean.
That's mean. 100 old woman single. That's, yeah, she'd be the first one that comes up on Google.
Yeah. Yahoo single. All right. 100 years old, single, Nobel Peace Prize.
She has a mind of a 20-year-old.
She's not sure she could rock the body as well as a 20-year-old. She's not going to lie.
You never know, Nate Dogg. You never know.
Oh, yeah, no, with advancements in technology, you never know.
Yeah.
Once you go gray, you don't go the other way, so I'm afraid to touch it.
You never know. It's just, all right, let's switch subject here, shall we? Because that's kind of... Give me a creepy feeling.
Yeah, I'm
sure.
All right.
And yet, now you want to know how she rocks it, don't you?
I'm disgusted. Yeah, oddly curious.
Yeah. So anyway, there we go. There's cool facts about the redheads. All them carrot tops out there. Listen up, okay? So throughout history, they've been subjected to discrimination. I don't know who you. I'm. I don't know. My little boy. Actually, he's. he's a little redhead, but this is doesn't, you know, he does not fall into this category, but still, they say throughout the history they've been subjected to discrimination and fearful prejudice because, you know, they're redheads. You know, it's like redheads and blondes and then brunettes, whatever. Being viewed as they're actually being viewed as a untrustworthy, mischievous, temperamental, something like that, lustful. And in ancient Egypt, actually, red hair was seen as so unlucky. You know, they're like seeing a black cat or something. So, actually, those are just a myth. And here's the cool facts about them. In the late 1990s, scientists discovered that gene mutation caused redheadedness. Specifically, it's a variant of the melanocortin. It's a receptor or something like that in the mutation in their gene. So one of the key proteins that determines the hair and the skin color. So mutated genes is recessive. So in order to for someone to have a red hair, get this, she has to inherit two copies of genes, one from each parent. So, and also redhead knockout. So they're not, you know, I mean, it's actually, there's a lot of history and a lot of research goes in there, you know, for being a redhead. I know a lot of people out there dye their redhead, you know, but there's actually, you know, what they said. A natural redhead. There you go. It's, you know, they're actually, you know, don't underestimate a redhead. So do you know any redheads that actually, and what do you say about them? Pinto, let me go to you first.
Redheads. Do I know redheads? Yes, I know.
Do you know any redheads? What do you say
about
them?
Do I know?
What is the characteristic?
What's that?
What? Can you tell more? Can you tell us more about, you know, their, the, you know, the, do you know any redhead?
Am I, you know, I'm into any hair color, honestly.
Okay, well,
I'm
talking about, like, maybe, like, you know, natural redheads. I mean,
yeah.
I can tell you, too.
Honestly, is any stereotype a negative stereotype is just that. It's a negative stereotype. It's not true. You know, redheads, you know, I've heard people say that they know how to have more fun. I found that to be true, actually, on more than one occasion. So.
Wow. Well, actually, back in the day, redheads were, like, back in Egypt, that they, you know, they were buried alive. And then according to the Greek mythology, this redheads turn into vampires when they die. And even, you know, they said that the redheads get stung by bee more enough than others.
It's like a flower. Like, they
say. Yeah. I mean, I know I can tell you one redhead. Ginger. Remember Ginger? Yeah, Ginger from the Gilligan Island. And also one redhead. Yeah. Carrot Top.
Oh.
Don't even say that. That's a sin. That's a sin.
You know that guy with the comedian Carrot Top?
Yeah, that's
yes.
Funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He's pretty weird.
He's horrible.
He's normal?
He's horrible.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Normal.
If you're saying Carrot Top, more power to you, but he's horrible.
He's the king of prop comedy, and you know why he's the king of prop comedy? Because nobody else wants to do it. Nobody else wants to do prop comedy. That's why he's the greatest.
Yeah, that's. I know. He does that thing, you know, like.
Nobody has low enough self-esteem to do prop comedy.
Yeah. But, Pinto, I think you want, you know, I thought you'd do, like, prop comedy or just, like, just, you know, just like Carrot Top. Don't you do that?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever go the way of Carrot Top, but, you know, he does have one thing on me. He does have millions, so my hat's off to him for that. So.
Yeah.
He
what
made
about
a lot of money off of stupid things, so kudos.
Kudos to Carrot Top. But Ginger from Gilligan Island, what do you say, Pinto?
She's very, very pretty.
Very, very pretty. Very, very purdy.
Purdy.
What about you, Ned Dog? What do you say?
Dude, redheads are hot, and they're just freaks, man. I love them. Something right in their head, and that's just something that's hot, you know?
Right. Well,
no,
I don't really
fun.
Know any redheads that, you know, in personally, but, you know, that's the two that I can come up with. You know, if someone would ask me, come up and say, hey, do you know any redheads? Yeah, I know two, Ginger and Carrot Top.
Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien. Any Irishman.
Oh, he's not. No, he's not a redhead. Is he a redhead?
Yeah,
I think Conan O'Brien has red hair.
Huh? How could you not tell he's a redhead? He's got that, like, rooster tail coming off his forehead.
Oh, that's the greatest hairdo ever.
No, I don't. I don't know. I guess I didn't pay attention. Well, I've seen him, like, a couple times. I don't know. But anyway, let's go switch the subject here, because I'm tired of redheads. Tired of redheads here. Yeah.
Poor Shane.
Yeah. So let's get serious over here. This is going to be, you know, Miss California, you know, this lady is not backing down from answer regarding gay marriage that she gave on the Sunday night Miss USA telecast. You know, her name is Carrie Prejean. She actually told FoxNews.com that she had no regrets and was happy with an answer that she gave when a Miss USA judge, you know, Perez Hilton, with the guy that I can't stand, you know, actually asked her about a stance on the same-sex marriage, and she responded, quote, "I think I believe that a marriage should be between man and a woman," unquote. She said that on the live broadcast, and she said, "No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised." I mean, again, the same thing to me. You know, I strongly believe that the marriage should be between man and a woman, but it doesn't mean I'm a homophobic, that I am, you know, that I hate everyone out there that associated with, you know, homosexuals or anything like that. And she said, and there's, get this, and one person who was offended was Keith Lewis. Lewis is the co-director of the Miss California competition, which actually, Prejean won to make it into the Miss USA pageant. So Lewis told Fox News that he was saddened by Prejean's statement, and he, quote, "I'm personally hurt that Miss California believes marriage rights belong only to the man and woman," unquote. Said, you know, she said that.
People take offense to everything nowadays, though.
Exactly. Now let me go with you.
Nate Dogg. Should I make a scene?
Yeah. No. Let me go with you real quick. I mean, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I think it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But you know, I don't judge people. I'm just like, you know what? That's the way I was raised. That's the way I perceive life as. And you know, if they're gonna do it their way, I'm not gonna judge them. But I'm just, you know, I'm not gonna go and say I now pronounce you husband and husband. You know, I'm not going to be the one to do it, but, you know, just don't go rubbing it in my face, and I won't go rubbing my straightness in your face. How's that?
Exactly.
You know?
And also, the poor woman is actually being, you know, she's probably getting hate mail right now, left and right, you know, for
right, because
she answered a question with this Perez Hilton, which is, you know, a homosexual, I think, and he acted like it.
Oh, yeah.
Is he really?
If you've ever seen a picture of him, I don't know how he could be straight. So I can picture him. I think dental floss could be straighter than him.
Yeah, disturbing pictures of him. And like I said, I'm not a big fan. I mean, you know, he's getting to the fame by using a different, you know, Paris Hilton. His name is Perez Hilton. But come on, you know. Anyway, Pinto? What's your take on this, man?
You know, I do feel bad for the girl because it sounds like she was answering the question as honestly as she could. You know, she said that's how she's raised. That's what I believe. You know, and
anybody, yeah.
And as far as, you know, as my take on this, I agree with both you guys. Marriage should be between a man and a woman. But, you know, if you find someone you love that's of the same sex, you know, you love them, you want to get married, more power to you. Go get married. Just don't, you know, again, just don't shove it down my throat, then we'll be good. You know, I'll let you be happy, I'll be happy, and we'll all live happily ever after. That's basically how I see it.
Right, exactly. Bingo.
Exactly.
Now, let me get another caller, 3797, what's your take on?
I agree, like, that marriage should be between a man and a woman, not the same sex, and I know in the Bible it does say that too, like that you shouldn't lie down with the same person, like a person of the same sex. You know, you shouldn't have sex with somebody of the same sex. It talks about how God really doesn't like that. That's not me judging them.
Well, I mean,
that's what God's word says. You know, it's God is the one who's going to judge them. You know, we need to love the sinner but hate the sin. You know, and homosexuals.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
hitting a. You know, hating a player, you don't hate the player, hate the game, you know?
No.
Well,
don't condone
hate the rule. It's not,
yeah.
not hate the player, but hate the rules. How about that?
Well,
not hate the game, but, you know.
Right, hate the game.
Hate the game.
Well, you don't hate the pimp. You hate the game.
I was just joking.
But, yeah, nice input on that, caller. But again, Pinto. I mean, what do you think? She's gonna be. You think she's gonna be scarred from because she just answered this question from the guy?
If she is, I would feel really really bad for her because again, she answered it. From what I hear, as honestly as she can answer it, and it's just this country being too PC, too politically correct. You know.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be labeled when you do a statement like that. When you say a statement like that, you know, you would be labeled as a homophobe. You know, when you say anything like that, you'd be labeled as a. What do you think, Nate Dogg? Do you think she should apologize?
No. Like
no,
I
agree.
Earlier, you know, if somebody would have said, you know,
Ray
go ahead, be gay,
right.
Would somebody would have been offended by that? You know.
Yeah.
It's just not politically correct. Politically correct to be against it. You know.
Exactly.
That's the thing. It's politically correct to be for it, but it's not politically correct to be against this kind of stuff. So it's not really fair to, you know, us people who disagree to it, because if we make a scene about it being wrong, we're all, you know, closed-minded pricks and all this other stuff. But when people are open-minded, they're just like, yeah, way to go, guys. It's like,
exactly.
Why do
I
you
mean,
guys get to make a scene and we can't?
Exactly, and there's so many out there, you know, so many Christians, so many things they believe, they don't stand what they believe, and there's, you know, so many backpedaling, you know. Even Rick Warren, do you agree with that, Don, about Rick Warren backpedaling?
I found that out at, we were at a funeral, and there was, like, a cell group going on in, the parlor, and they were talking about that, and, I mean... As far as, like, I didn't personally hear that Rick Warren backpedaled, but that would be because I don't really, okay, he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and I was reading it, and, you know, it seemed a little off at first, you know, and I'm like, and then the more I kept reading, I think by the seventh chapter or something, I was like, what is he talking about? He was talking about stuff that's not even in the Bible. He said, we don't need music to worship God ever, and I was like, doesn't say that in the Bible, and like so he really was like starting to say stuff that's not really true in the Bible. And so after that, and then a friend of ours seen that I was reading the book, and he's like, that is not a good book. And I was like, okay, you know. And after that, I just really, whenever I hear Rick Warren's name, I know that
exactly,
it's
yeah,
not
he's,
something biblical that
he's popular. He was on Fox News. Yeah, he was on Fox News, and yeah, he's actually you know, he'd be friend with Obama and all that, supposedly Christian, but when he made that comment about homosexuals, and there was a lot of homosexual people that said, you know, they were offended, and he turned around and apologized, you know. I'm like,
yeah,
dude,
exactly.
So I'm like, why don't you, you know, be a man, you know, like stand for what you believe.
Be for it or against
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's, what do you say that, Pinto?
I just mean, just stick with what you said originally, you know, you have an opinion, stick with it, you know. You know, sorry if I sound a little, you know, I guess blunt, but grow a pair.
Yep, exactly. Now let's switch subjects here, shall we? Because this is getting, you know, it's making me cry. You know, it's making me cry right now. That's right. No. Anyway, believe it or not, there you go. A third person has been ticketed for cursing public in Galveston County, Texas. Get this. First, it was Catherine Fridge arrested for dropping an F-bomb in Lamarck Walmart. Then it was the guy from Queens, ticketed for talking like a guy from Queens.
That's
how they talk. What the F? You know, like, now it's a Texas city man who neighbors says constantly use the S word. The S word. It's discussing how he didn't like their cats defecating in his yard. So he's just, oh my goodness. So Joseph Laughlin was given an citation for disorderly conduct at Texas police, and after the dispute, the Galveston County Dallas reports that Laughlin, actually a former cop, say he's baffled and wasn't shouting during the exchange. The neighbor that has cat, you know, crapping in his lawn, say whoever to deliver papers to the neighbor say that they kept using the word S word. So he's actually, you know,
given a ticket for using the F word in there. And the guy said, Lofton says, quote, I was a cop for 7 years with this county and the college on the mainland. I would have never written that, you know, that stupid ticket. And he said that stupid effing ticket is not right. So anyway, let's go with you, Nate Dogg, real quick. The S word, you know, they're not giving me any definition of what kind of S word they used. But wouldn't you mad? I mean, wouldn't you be mad if someone like your cat's like just crapping all over your yards and they're not doing anything about it?
Without saying the word, is it S as in Sam or F as in Frank?
I don't know. He would just say the S word. So
S as in Sam. That's what he was saying. That word, right?
S as in Sam. Yeah, S as in Sam.
Okay. So how could he get a ticket? Because technically, that is the legal definition of what came out of the cat's butt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like if you look it up into a dictionary, is that really a swear word or is that a definition?
I agree with you, man. It's just that's the thing that came out of the cat's behind. That's, you know,
just like
I mean, what do you call it? Chocolate,
right? Oh. Chocolate syrup. It did not go
oh.
with ice cream well. It just did not.
What
I tried making
world?
Brownies out of it, and it did not work. And so I called it what I thought it was, and apparently it wasn't because they arrested me for it.
Oh,
so
right.
It must not have been that.
Must not be it. So. And so what do you say? What kind of word would you use for something like that? I mean, you know, man, if someone's like a dog or a cat, you know, just going in your yard and doing their own thing, I mean, would you get mad or just like, hey, you know, let's make peace.
Yes. Let's make peace while he makes poo.
Hey, it's nothing a live trap can't solve.
Right, the P word. Let's make peace. You know, hey, peace, you man. You know.
Yeah, peace, you dude. You big. The peace.
Don, yeah, Don. What do you think? I mean, you have a big yard. What do you? You know, got dogs going in there. What I mean, you caught your neighbor doing that. What would you say to that neighbor?
Well, I have a really big yard.
Yeah.
Okay, This is why I think if I don't see the cat and I don't know who the cat belongs to, then it's fine, you know. But if I see them letting their cat go in there, at least I would like them to courteously, you know, say, I'm sorry, would you like me to clean that up? Especially because my husband and I have five kids that like to run around, some like two of them, you know. Well, at least one of them doesn't like to wear shoes most of the time outside, you know. So can you imagine? I mean, I would be very irritated. I would be tempted to be irritated, be like, oh, what is this stuff on her feet, you know.
They better offer to pick it up.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's just disgusting. And I just have a comment about the, you know, writing a ticket. Okay, it's not that I promote cussing or bad words or anything like that. I appreciate people when they, if they cuss around me, I appreciate when they apologize, you know. But if they're getting a ticket for using speech, you know, is that really violating the freedom of speech?
Well, not really. I mean, that, you know, I don't think they're violating any of the freedom of speech. I think that, you know, that there's like, in, you know, what they call the a public relations or something like that. I mean, you can get, I think they got a ticket, but I think it's for disturbance of peace or something like that. It doesn't have to be, I don't think it's pertaining to that, you know, you said an F word or a cursing or whatever, something like that. But
maybe he went banging on his door or something.
Oh, I think so. I think it's one of those things that's not, but he's going into court, so he's demanding for it. So what do you say, Nate Dogg? I mean, ticket, you think, how much do you think that cost? Like $100?
I think it should just get it off, man. You get off the ticket. You know, it's just ridiculous that he's going to get a ticket for that. I mean, especially it's a neighbor's dog or neighbor's cat or whatnot. You know, it's like, you guys can either pick this up or it'll be in a flaming dog or a flaming bag on your doorstep here. So I can either swear at you or you can deal with it, you know.
Right, exactly. So, Pinto, what do you think? Ticket or not?
No, definitely not. I would actually probably crumple the ticket up and throw it back in the cop's face if I got a ticket for that.
I would wrap that cat poop in there and throw it right at the cop.
Exactly. So this
sorry.
This is what your ticket amounts to me.
Right. Just, here we go. Here we go. Put it back right at you. Yeah, you probably, and then you go to probably another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you never.
I didn't think it'd be the smart thing to do.
Or you could just wrap it up, put that, collect all the cat poop in the yard, and put them in a brown bag, and set them on fire, and run them to the port and front porch. You know, that's what you get.
Ding dong.
Exactly.
Ding dong. What is this? Oh, I'm on fire. Oh.
Get the boots. No, not the boots.
Yeah. That's funny.
Now,
Don, what do you think? Okay. Don, what do you think? Take it or not take it? You said already said no, but what do you think? Are they in court? Who's going to win?
I think that, like, I don't know, but I think that maybe the judge will sign some light and say, hey, you know, like, you got to watch your cat. You got to make sure that, you know, because that's what if they have kids, you know. I think, like, the judge will show some, like, light, shine some light on it. So they'll be courteous of one another, the neighbors.
Mm. Yeah. So, and this is all the warning for the people going over there in Galveston County. You know, if you consider going over there, just, you know, let's just warn now that, you know, it's, you know, please adopt to Leave It to Beaver approach language. So you didn't get a ticket.
Golly, yeah, Bo, he just said another word.
Garnet? All right. Let's switch up to the
so in the Who's Cow.
All right. <that's> enough. Now let's talk about movies, the stars who died the most. Okay, we have this from Will Smith to whatchamacallit, Bruce Willis and all that. I'm going to give you a couple of them, and you decide, okay? And Will Smith, he did like hundreds of movies, right? So we only have, two deaths. Actually, it's from 7 Pounds and I Am Legend, okay? I have not seen 7 Pounds. This is just a recent movie he did, 7 Pounds. I Am Legend. Harrison Ford, 2 deaths. It's actually the Mosquito Coast and What Lies Beneath. Mel Gibson did a lot of movies. He only had 3 deaths. This is Mrs. Sufville, Hamlet, Braveheart. I've not seen Mrs. Sufville. I have not seen that. Tom Cruise, your favorite actor, Pinto. Tom Cruise, 4 deaths.
He's my favorite actor.
Joking. Beth Tolles for Tom Cruise would be Taps, Vanilla Sky, Collateral, and Valkyrie. I've seen Collateral and Vanilla Sky. I've not seen the other two. So Robert Downey Jr., you know, your hero, Nate Dogg.
I don't even know who that is.
Robert Downey Jr., he's like the Iron Man, man. The Iron Man, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. 5 deaths, actually, less than 0. Yeah, I got the black dude from although he's not black, but he's played the black dude from Tropic Thunder. Less than 0. Yeah, he did. Have you ever seen it, Pinto?
I saw that movie. It was probably the funniest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's funny, dude.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my. Yeah. So here's the death toll for that for the guy, okay? Less than 0, I've not seen that. Natural Born Killers, I've seen it. Richard III, I've not seen that. The Gingerbread Man, I've not seen it. And U.S. Marshal, I've seen it. So that's 5. George Clooney, 5 deaths. Return to Horror High, Red Surf, God. The Perfect Storm, which is a stupid movie. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, and Suriana. I have not seen Suriana yet, but I've seen some of them on the other one. Denzel Washington. Don't watch him.
Don't watch Suriana.
All right. Denzel Washington, which my look, that people say my lookalike. Denzel Washington, okay? Denzel for him, 7 deaths. Cry Freedom, Glory, Heart Condition, Malcolm X, Fall In, The Preacher's Wife, Training Day, Man on Fire. Training Day is awesome. All right. Here we go. Christian Bale, the new Batman guy. Okay, Christian Dale, yes, 8 deaths. Anastasia, the Mister of Anna, Henry V, the Secret Agent, Mary, Mother of Jesus, Shaft, Harsh Times, and The Prestige, and 3:10 to Yuma. Okay, Dustin Hoffman.
He an next one for life?
Well, who?
Sorry, dark joke.
Oh, okay. All right. See, you lost me there, man. What the heck is going on? Okay, Dustin Hoffman. 9 deaths. Midnight Cowboy, he was Harry Killerman, and why is he saying those terrible things? That's a long title. Who's Harry Killerman, and why is he saying those terrible things about me? Okay. Lenny, Death of a Salesman, yeah, of course. Billy Bathgate, Hook, Wag the Dog, Perfume, Mrs. Mangurian's Wonder Emporium when he died from, yeah, that. And Al Pacino, Al Pacino's and Brad Pitt, both have 9 deaths. Johnny Depp, 9.5 deaths. You know why?
Yeah, half a time.
Yeah, he died from the Pirates of the Caribbean when he came back to life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the most one is Brooke Dillard, 11. Say it.
So if you get resuscitated there, does that consider you getting another life? Because then Jason Statham in the movie Crank died like 17 times.
I noticed that, right?
Was he really?
My cousin was in the air.
Yeah, he beat every one of these. Like, even Bruce Willis, 11 deaths. And Robert De Niro is 14. So Jason Statham has, what, 17 times resuscitated from the movie.
That's from one movie.
From one movie alone. Okay, we have our winner. Dun, 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 Jason Statham. So what do you think of his actors, man? Do you think, like, the guy named, what's his guy? Robert, George Clooney? I mean, George Clooney's been dead, like, 20 times.
Yeah, that's a weak character. I wouldn't mind killing off.
I just don't like the guy. So, Will Smith, actually, pretty good movie, actor. So, and it's, I don't like when he dies in a movie. So, it makes me cry.
Me too.
Same to you, Pinto?
Yes.
Same to you, Pinto?
I shed a tear, when Will Smith dies.
Have you seen 7 Pounds?
I have not seen 7 Pounds, no.
What about you, Nate Dogg?
No, not a clue.
No? What about you, Don?
No.
No, not yet?
It's a fantastic movie. If none of us have ever even seen it.
No. I'm out of the loop.
So, and Harrison Ford, actually, it's like Harrison Ford never, there's only two deaths. The Mosquito Coast and What Lies Beneath. I've not seen both of them. I mean, I'm a big Harrison Ford fan, but, I'm not going to see a movie that Harrison Ford's going to die. Would you agree, Pinto?
Why not?
I don't know.
I would agree. Why not? See movie, just Harrison Ford die.
He's no Mel Gibson, but Mel Gibson is actually, the Hamlet and Braveheart, man. That's a powerful movie right there. Wouldn't you agree, Pinto?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Sorry.
Dude, Harrison Ford is so old, I think he's going to die in real life. I would like to pay for that movie just to watch it. It's just real life death of Harrison Ford dying. I hope it's an Indiana Jones stunt flick where his whip breaks or something like that. He falls on his face and breaks it.
Right. Well, how would you title that though? Indiana
Best
Jones
movie of all time. Harrison Ford breaks the tip.
So what were you gonna say about something, Pinto, about the Braveheart? What was that?
Oh no, I was just gonna say I agree. Braveheart is a pretty powerful movie.
You didn't cry in the end, right? Did you shed tears for that?
When he got beheaded, no. I knew it was coming. When I first five minutes I saw the movie, I pegged it. This guy here, his head chopped off.
Anyway, all right, Don. What about any movie of all time for you? Movie of all time? Favorite movies of all time for you? What is it? Name one.
One of my favorite movies is Fireproof. It's a pretty cool movie.
Oh, okay.
Really,
who's
really
in there?
Nice. Kirk Cameron, actually. He used to be in Growing Pains. He's also in, Left Behind,
Right.
But,
okay.
Yeah, I was really surprised that, most of the people in the movie Fireproof were volunteers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's wrap it up here because we have, 60 seconds to go here. What about you, Nate Dogg? Favorite movie of all time?
Come on, man. Boondock Saints.
What?
Best movie
what?
Of all time, Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints.
That is a very good movie, yes.
That's one of the best movies I've ever seen of all time.
Yeah, I like that one, too. What about you, Pinto?
I have to go with Transporter 3, The Man of 1,000 Lives, Jason Statham.
Oh, no.
All right, man.
Man of 1,000 Lives. All right, you ready for this one, my favorite movie of all time?
Yes.
Waterworld.
Fox and the Hound.
Waterworld.
Yeah, Waterworld. I love Waterworld. I thought they were going to make Waterworld 2.
That's like a 6-hour movie, isn't it?
I went to. Yeah. So, well, guys, I'm going to wrap it up because I have 20 seconds. Thanks for calling, though. Hey, Nate Dogg, we'll do this again, okay? Thanks for stopping by. I'll definitely switch. Again, I'm not going to be able to compete with you, so I'm switching mine at 10 o'clock. Sean Poe, thank you very much. I'm going to go to sleep with my cat.